Mike Roberts, the first CEO of ICANN from 1998 to 2001, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. How did your time in D.C. prepare you to be the first CEO of ICANN?
There's an easy answer to that and a hard answer. I had learned the hard way that the way Washington really works is by consensus of competing factions. And what makes it tick are the senior staff of the members of Congress. They're the people that you go to see with your pieces of paper about how your notion for legislation or amendment to legislation or science policy, government science policy, should be undertaken. You went to see the staffers to say, your member needs to support this. So it took me a couple of years to absorb all that. I was there to represent university, research university, high performance networking interests. It was obvious by the late 80s that supercomputer centers were not gonna work if what the researchers had to do was throw a bunch of tapes in their car and drive hundreds or thousands of miles to where the supercomputer was. So an awful lot of effort, and especially at NSF, and was devoted to figuring out how to support research network and then to generalize that for academia broadly written.
Why did the Clinton administration want to institute a model like the ICANN model for the management of the domain name system?
Before Clinton and Gore were elected in 92, there were also, due to George Brown's stewardship of the House Science Committee and Al Gore's leadership in the Senate Science Subcommittee, there were a framework for advancing the research internet into something that would be more broadly useful to society. I need to mention the subject of cooperative agreements. The Congress, in its wisdom, decided in the early 80s that the research money wasn't being spent well in the sense that they couldn't find enough commercial applications. They said, if we're going to spend all this money on research, we need to see some benefit to society. So they created something called a cooperative agreement, and they wrote it in a manner that said, research agencies are not only entitled to transfer this to the public sector, we're basically ordering you guys to find a way to get this stuff out there where it can be commercialized. So Gore picked that up and ran with it. By 92, when the Clinton people came in and promulgated their framework for action, the foundation of what led to the ICANN model had already been laid.
This is interesting. I have not heard this previously. So what you're telling me is there was a congressional foundation that had been set for the Clinton administration to build upon?
Yes, absolutely. And if you look, for instance, at the Tim Berners-Lee effort at CERN that led to the web, that led to Mosaic, and Mosaic's transfer to the private sector, to Netscape and to Windows ultimately, was a clear example of the power of the cooperative agreements.
Expansion of the internet aside, wouldn't it have simply been easier for the U.S. government to say, okay, we'll expand the internet, but you know what? We're going to keep control over the management of the domain name system.
There were a number of voices that thought they should do that. The problem with that was that the people inside the government capable of taking that charge were basically researchers. There wasn't anybody inside the government that could deal in a hands-on way with this tremendous uproar over trademarks. You know, there was a real primary issue about the relationship of trademarks and domain names. One of the very first things that Molly and I did after I was appointed was we got on a plane and went to Geneva to see Francis Gurry at WIPO, World International Property Organization, a UN organization to which the US and and hundreds of countries are signatories, and that's where global trademark policy was and still is made. And Francis was saying, Mike, you got to help us. This is really a mess. And the result of that was, and among other things, Francis said, we can't afford to spend 10 years in court litigating all this cyber squatting. You folks have to come up with a non-judicial solution to cyber squatting, and you got to get on with it. And so that's why the Uniform Dispute Resolution policy was right at the top of our to-do list when the ICANN board took over.
When you look back with the clarity of vision that the future affords, when
yes.
you look back, how would you have done things differently as the first CEO, if at all?
First of all, there would have been 6 months inserted in for having an intelligent run-up to incorporation and launch. Nobody but a bunch of White House people with their backs against the wall would have launched something as significant in its implications as ICANN in less than 90 days.
How would that have changed from the 90 days to the 6 months? How would we have perceived a difference?
There would have been organized fora for these several major policy issues. Like, it was pretty much agreed because of the fight over expanding domain names in Geneva, which collapsed because of U.S. opposition. There would have been organized fora for dealing with that. The problems with the support organization would have been teased out, and something like where ICANN got to by 2002 when they went through their reform period, that could have been done in 99.
Give me an overall characterization. I'm interested in both your tenure
yes.
as first CEO and your observations after that. Give me an overview of the relationship between the USG and ICANN.
I firmly believed, when Larry Irving shook hands with me at a Inside the Beltway party in November, December of 98, he said, Mike, we're going to be out of your hair in 24 months. So I didn't think about a continuing.
And what year was this?
98. I wasn't giving any mind share, and neither was the board, to a presence of the U.S. government in ICANN from there until 2017. That's why it was such a shock when Karen Rose at NTIA called up Louis Tuton and said, Louis, there has to be an IANA services contract. That was a real shock. And of course, it did not only undermine my understanding and what Larry had told me, but it wasn't very long after that we had the 9/11 shock, and it was pretty clear that we weren't going to mess with the government role and with the MOU and the contract anytime soon.
So 9/11 was a major factor.
Definitely.
What would have happened if 9/11 had not occurred in terms of ICANN and its evolution and separation from the USG?
In the spring of 99, there was a lot of doubt in the Congress that IRA, and you have to remember that one of the pieces of fallout from Clinton's troubles, impeachment and so on, was a lot of pretty aggressive critics in the Congress. And some of the mantle of that criticism dropped on IRA, because if you look at it, IRA was a friend of Bill. I mean, that's how he got to the White House. And so I and others got summoned to the Hill to be essentially taken to account for what we were doing to safeguard U.S. interests in this thing that had been incubated in the Internet. In fact, it's a matter of Internet history that they asked for a congressional study on who owned the Internet, And the study basically came back saying, well, this is very vague because, among other things, it's not clear there's a property right in domain names. That's still going around, by the way, all these years later.
Is it fair to say that there are still members of Congress who have the sort of we made it, we own it sort of attitude?
If you want to look at the chauvinism that was expressed in the Congress over the last 18 months, you don't come away from that with any other conclusion.
When you look back, do you look back with a sense of pride?
Definitely. ICANN was always intended to be the place where you settled internet arguments. People ask me, well, Mike, why didn't things settle down? I said, you have to remember that the reason these things were intractable was because they are intractable. They represent a balancing of interests. ICANN provides the forum for the various stakeholders to come together and argue it out. And that's exactly what they're doing today, 20 years later, 19 years later.
Mike Roberts, first CEO of ICANN, thank you very much.
Thank you.